All right, ready to dive deep into something pretty amazing.
I am.
Today, it's all about Gregorian chants.
Ah, beautiful.
We're going way back in time, exploring their history, getting into their spiritual side, and even touching on the whole philosophy behind them.
You know, it's really something how these ancient chants can still resonate with people today, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think a lot of us, we've heard these chants somewhere, right? Maybe in a movie or even like a modern song. But today, we're going beyond that. We're uncovering what truly makes Gregorian chants unique and powerful.
Totally.
This is about more than just beautiful music. It's like, what is it about these chants that seem to connect us to something, well, something bigger than ourselves?
It's a question that's worth exploring. And to really get to the bottom of it, we need to go back.
Way back.
To understand just where these chants came from and how they've evolved over time.
Okay. History lesson time.
Let's do it.
Most people have probably heard of Pope Gregory I, the guy credited with organizing and, well, kind of systematizing these chants way back in the 6th century.
That's right. But it's super important to remember that Gregorian chants didn't just pop out of nowhere. It's really fascinating how these cultural and spiritual practices kind of blend and change over the years.
Right.
And Gregorian chants, they drew from all these older traditions, you know, think Greek and Oriental, even Ambrosian and Hebraic musical elements.
So it's like a tapestry, a musical tapestry.
A tapestry woven with different threads of history and spirituality. Absolutely.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
And that definitely adds to their enduring appeal. But what really sets Gregorian chants apart, what makes them truly unique, is that they weren't seen as music in the way we think about music today.
Interesting. So how were they seen?
They were, and still are, viewed as sacred music, a tool for prayer and connection with the divine.
That's a huge difference.
It is. It makes you think about how much our modern music, how it's kind of lost that sense of intention, you know?
Like it's all about entertainment now.
Yeah, pretty much. Gregorian chants, on the other hand, they were designed very intentionally to create a very specific spiritual experience.
Okay, so how? What makes them different?
Well, for one, they're monophonic.
Monophonic.
Which means they use a single melodic line. And traditionally, no instruments are involved.
Huh.
It's all about that pure, uncluttered sound focused entirely on the sacred texts, which were mostly in Latin.
And that use of Latin back then, well, it was the common language of the church.
Right.
So it helped unify people from all these different regions. It's like this shared language of faith, you know?
Exactly. It created this feeling of a shared spiritual experience that went beyond borders and cultures.
Wow.
And this idea of universality, it actually ties into some other key qualities of Gregorian chant, simplicity and purity.
Those are actually the exact words used to describe the chants on the Spiritual Seek website.
Oh, interesting.
The website we're using for this deep dive. And it's funny, because at first, these chants do seem simple, right? But there's so much depth underneath.
There really is. That apparent simplicity, that's actually a key part of their power. Think about it. We live in a world full of distractions, you know?
Yeah.
Our minds are constantly bombarded with information and stimulation.
Right.
And these chants, they offer something completely different. They strip away all that noise and create a space for us to really focus and contemplate.
So it's like a sanctuary, but a sonic sanctuary.
You got it. And that purity of sound, without any complex harmonies or rhythms, it creates a feeling of timelessness. You can step outside of that everyday rush and enter a different kind of time.
Almost like that ancient Greek idea of Kairos, sacred time.
Exactly. It's like stepping into Kairos.
You know, I actually had an experience like that once while hiking in the mountains. I totally lost track of time.
Oh, really?
It felt like hours had gone by, but it was just minutes.
Wow. A perfect example of Kairos. And Gregorian chants, with their lack of any fixed rhythm, they're amazing at helping us experience that.
That makes sense. It's like the music itself is inviting you to let go of time, to just surrender to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the music, I've read a bit about this modal structure of Gregorian chants. It seems pretty complex. Can you break it down like in a way anyone can understand?
Sure. I won't bore you with all the technical stuff, but basically, instead of the major and minor scales we hear in modern music, Gregorian chants use a system of modes. Think of them like musical keys for your soul.
Oh, okay.
Each mode evokes a particular emotion. Some might inspire feelings of, say, serenity.
Right.
While others bring out a sense of longing or maybe even awe and reverence.
Interesting.
These subtle emotional nuances, they enhance the whole introspective and spiritual experience of the chants.
So it's not just the words, it's the music itself working on a deeper level, supporting that spiritual journey.
Precisely. And we can't forget that these chants weren't just standalone pieces. They were intricately woven into the rituals and texts of the Catholic Mass and other services.
So each chant had a very specific role to play, contributing to the overall spiritual experience of the liturgy.
Yes.
And that leads us to another interesting aspect, the philosophy behind these seemingly simple chants.
Right. There's more than meets the eye. One key idea is this concept of harmony between body and soul,
right,
which has its roots in ancient Greek philosophy, particularly the ideas of Plato. Early Christians, they believed that music, especially sacred music like Gregorian chant, could help align our human emotions with divine order.
So it's almost like by singing these chants, people were taking part in like harmonizing body and soul.
Right. You know, it's tough to say for sure, but whether it was a conscious thing or something they just felt, the act of singing itself brings together the physical and the spiritual.
Right, I see that.
Like breath control, using your voice, that's physical. But then there's the intention, the focus of the prayer, that's spiritual.
It's a beautiful reflection of, well, of who we are.
Exactly. Beings that are both material and spiritual.
That's really deep. It's like these chants are weaving together, like different parts of us.
I like that. Weaving.
And speaking of deep ideas, there was something else I wanted to ask you about. The Logos.
Ah, yes. Big concept.
I know it's a huge idea in Christian theology, but how does it connect to Gregorian chants?
Great question. In Christianity, the Logos refers to Christ as the Word through whom all things were created.
Right.
And there's that famous line from the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Right. So by chanting scripture during worship, believers are basically engaging directly with this divine Logos.
Exactly. The melodies of the chants, they amplify the sacred texts without overshadowing the words themselves. It's like they're vessels carrying these eternal truths.
That's such a powerful image. The music giving voice to the word and making it even more resonant.
I like that, giving voice.
Is there anything else about the structure of the chants themselves that reflects those deeper philosophical ideas?
Absolutely. The structure, the beauty of Gregorian chants, it also reflects the idea of divine order and perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the modes, how the phrases are put together, the overall balance and harmony.
Yeah.
It all points to a cosmic order, you know, mm-hmm. an order that ultimately reflects God's perfection.
It reminds me of what St. Thomas Aquinas said about beauty, that beauty is like a pathway to knowing God.
Mm.
That beauty reflects His attributes, like unity, harmony, and order.
You can definitely see those qualities in Gregorian chants.
Absolutely. But, okay, beyond the intellectual and philosophical stuff, what about the effects these chants have on people? You know, what actually happens within a person when they're immersed in Gregorian chant?
One of the most common and powerful effects is the creation of what we call interior silence.
Interior silence.
Yeah, it's that state where the noise of the world kind of fades away.
Right.
And you connect with a deep sense of stillness inside yourself, like hitting the mute button on all that mental chatter, you know, finding a space of true inner peace.
That's interesting. It seems kind of counterintuitive, though, right? That something as powerful as music could lead to silence.
It does. But think about it. The repetitive nature of the chants, focusing on that single melody, no distracting harmonies, all of that helps quiet the mind.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that interior silence, it's essential for deep prayer and contemplation. Mystics like St. Teresa of Avila, they talked about that.
Right.
The meditative quality of Gregorian chants, it helps foster that sense of recollection.
Turning inward.
Towards the divine, exactly.
It's like the chants are creating the perfect sonic environment for spiritual exploration.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just an individual experience either. When Gregorian chants are sung in a group, a choir, a congregation during a service, there's this powerful sense of unity that comes out.
Right. It's like everyone's voices are blending together.
Blending to create a unified expression of praise and devotion. It's really beautiful. And it actually points toward the heavenly worship described in the book of Revelation.
Mm.
You know, where angels sing continuously before God's throne, a glimpse of that unity and harmony that we strive for as spiritual beings.
It's incredible how these chants can connect us to something so much larger than ourselves, like in terms of both time and our place in the cosmos.
It is. And we can't forget the role of beauty in all of this. Theologians like Hans Urs von Balthasar, they've argued that beauty is essential for evangelization.
Really?
Yeah, for drawing people towards truth.
Huh. That's interesting.
Beauty has this power to captivate us, to inspire us, and to open our hearts and minds in a way that logic or arguments can't always do.
I see that.
And Gregorian chants, with their incredible melodies and profound spiritual depth, they're the perfect example of how beauty can be a path to the divine.
Yeah. But there's one more dimension we need to explore.
Mm-hmm.
The mystical aspect of Gregorian chant.
Yes. It's an aspect that often gets overlooked, but it's so important for understanding their full power.
Okay, tell me more.
For one thing, they tend to strip away those egoistic tendencies. When you're chanting in a group, no single voice stands out. It's about blending together, surrendering to the collective sound.
Mm-hmm.
You lose yourself in the music, and in a way, you find yourself in that loss.
It's like the individual self disappears into the larger whole, creating that sense of unity and connection. It reminds me of kenosis in Christian mysticism.
Kenosis, yes.
The idea of emptying yourself, making space for God.
Exactly. And the repetitive nature of Gregorian chants is key here, too. It's similar to using mantras in meditation. The repetition quiets the mind and brings about a deeper state of consciousness.
But in this case, the focus is on Christian themes and texts,
right,
leading to that Christ-centered contemplative experience.
Precisely. And Saint Benedict, who advocated for the daily chanting of psalms and antiphons by monks, he believed that this repeated practice could transform the heart and mind.
Oh, what?
Bring them closer to Christ. It's about letting those chants really sink in, shaping you from the inside out.
Almost like a spiritual osmosis.
You got it. The chants become a part of you and you become a part of them. It really is.
Wow, this has been a fascinating deep dive. We've covered so much.
We have.
The history, the philosophy, the spiritual effects.
Right.
And now even like the mystical dimensions of these chants.
It's amazing, isn't it, how music can be so much more than just something to listen to.
It is.
Yeah.
It can be a pathway to a deeper understanding.
Deeper connection.
Even transformation. It's wild.
It is.
What is it about these chants, you know? Something from so long ago that still has this power to speak to us so deeply.
It's the question, isn't it? Maybe it's their ability to tap into something that's universal within us, a longing to connect, to transcend the everyday, you know?
I think so. In a world that's constantly bombarding us with noise and distractions.
Yeah.
Gregorian chants, they offer us this, like, sanctuary of peace.
A space for contemplation.
Renewal.
Exactly. They're like a reminder to slow down, to listen, to turn inward and to connect with something deeper. That's a powerful message, especially these days.
It really is. And for anyone listening who's feeling intrigued, I highly recommend checking out the Spiritual Seek website.
Oh, yeah. Great resource.
They've got a whole section on Gregorian chants, including recordings of some of the most famous ones.
Definitely a good place to start if you want to experience the beauty, the power of these chants firsthand. You might be surprised how much those ancient melodies can actually resonate with you.
Totally. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the world of Gregorian chants.
It's been a journey.
I'm left with this, like, sense of awe and wonder. We've uncovered their rich history, that intricate connection to philosophy and theology, and those profound spiritual and mystical dimensions that they offer.
Gregorian chants, they're not just about music. They're about a way of being and a way of connecting with something beyond ourselves. Finding peace, meaning in a world that can feel chaotic and fragmented.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And for you listening, we leave you with this. If you were to experience these chants, either just listening or even participating, where do you think your mind would wander? What kind of spiritual journey might those sounds inspire?